Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Come on and check in with me. Come on and check in with me. Mental health check-in with Lee. Welcome, welcome to another episode of Mental Health Check-In with your boy, Leek. Today, I have a special guest, Diego from Bad Boys, Texas, on Gemini Films. How are you doing, my brother?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just want to say thank you. Before we start, thank you for saying yes to come and talk about mental health. I know that's not that much of an easy topic to talk about nowadays, but I just want to say thank you for being brave to come talk about mental health.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you. I'm sorry, what you about to say?
No, I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
No problem. So let's get into this questions, man. I want to ask you this question. I ask everybody this question. I'm going to ask you, how is your mental health today?
I'm getting better. I've gotten better. I'm just taking it day by day.
Hey. Why is it, what was it like before when you say you're getting better? What was it like before?
It was just all over the place. I was like right before I did the Bad Boys Club, I was in the Army for 4 years. And right before the Army, I was running a restaurant. So I've always been busy. So I always felt like I grew up super young and I've been just overstressed through all my teen years. I'm only 27, so I've been working nonstop. So with that being said, my mental health was just all over the place, you know.
Yes.
And being in the military, that caused a lot of anxiety and PTSD and stuff like that.
Yes, we definitely gonna get into that later on about the, you know, military and PTSD and everything. We definitely gonna get into that later on. My next question for you, right? Growing up, was it okay not to be okay for you?
No, I had to be okay. I had no choice. I grew up pretty much alone. My parents were constantly working. I grew up poor, so my parents were always working. My older sister was already in the United States. I was in Mexico since I was born to like five. And from there, it was like, we'd come to the United States for a year, then go back to Mexico for a year. It was never stable. I was never stabled anywhere. My parents were always working, so I had to always be okay. You know what I mean? I had to keep pushing through because I had no one to pretty much talk to or no one really there for me sometimes.
Yeah. Thank you for answering that. I know, like, my listeners, there's no right or wrong answer to that question. It's always dope to ask that question to people because, you know, we all grow up differently. Everybody has a different story, different background. So that's like one of my second best questions to ask in these podcast interviews. But thank you for answering it.
Of course.
Growing up, right? There's a stigma out there about mental health, right? But there's also a stigma surrounding men's mental health. What do you say to that stigma that says, you know, we can't cry, we can't be depressed, we have to man up? And, you know, not just being a man, you know, being, you know, an LGBTQ plus, you know, in the community, like, it's so much stigma on us, right? So much, like, you know, we even getting judged for our mental health, we're getting judged for being gay or who we are, or who we love. Like, what do you say to that stigma out there?
I think it's wrong. I think it's okay to cry. I think it's okay to have feelings. I think it's okay to, you know, express how you feel. It's okay to apologize. It's okay. Just because you do those things doesn't mean you're less of a man than other people. Yeah. You know, that's what I've always said that. There's times though where you have to man up for yourself though, not for anybody else or because anyone's telling you, you have to do it for yourself because you can't remain in that dark hole forever, you know. You have to figure out a way to get out of there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on there. I definitely agree. I feel like mental health is being more talked about now, which is awesome, but we still have so much work to do because it's like, there's so many people I know that are dying by suicide. You know, I'm really sure I use the correct term, die by suicide. They are, you know, I feel like they don't have no one to talk to. They feel like if they talk to someone, their friends are going to clown them. They're going to judge them. And they rather talk to someone, they just, you know, taking their life away. So like I do think it's getting better, but it could be way much better with the whole stigma.
It can, Tien. That was one of my things. I wasn't really much scared of being judged. I was just more scared of like sharing certain things because I didn't want to seem kind of weak, considering my background and how I grew up, like in the ghetto, how I grew up poor, how I grew up being a tough ass and doing this on my own. I was kind of scared of being judged for being weak, mostly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's I think that's what people are scared to be considered as weak, or some people take advantage of that. So people are scared to open up to people because all the people around you take advantage of the situation of how you're feeling, and they use it for their advantage to maybe bring you down even more, because not everyone around you cares about you.
Yeah. That is
That's
so
why it's
true.
very hard. That's why it's very hard for a lot of people to open up when it comes to having mental health, being depressed, being having anxiety, being any of the above. You know, people are scared to open up because they think that, or we all think that someone around us might know and might take advantage of us.
Yes, or they might use it against you, or just throw something in your face. Like I had that before where I struggled with myself. One of my friends, we got to a deep argument. He told me that, like, he know I, which was going to go to my next segment, but he know I suffered with suicidal thoughts, and he told me to go kill myself, and that like really hurt because I trusted that person, told them stuff that I was dealing with and stuff. So I get what you're saying. I 1,000% get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like, again, coming from that military background, I have so many friends that have also committed suicide, so I know what you're, I know how that is, what that's like.
Yeah. So before we get to the next, for actually the next question, right? I'm going to actually go answer it first, right? So you make you feel comfortable if you want to answer it or not. But I want to say anybody out there that's dealing with any thoughts of suicide, there is a suicide prevention line out there. Crisis number is 988. The easiest number to dial, 988. If you are struggling with any thoughts of suicide or any suicide ideation, if it's you or a friend that you know, a family member, please call 988. They are available 365 days. You could call them when you're bored, lonely, need someone to talk to, just feeling down, just need some guidance. They are there 365 days. There are also free resources out there. When you go to church, there are church groups that can probably help you. I used to volunteer for NAMI in Philadelphia. I was a group facilitator. They have free online support groups. Everybody likes free. They're not intended to replace therapy, but I think being in a support group and being around people that understand mental health issues like that you have, like, is so dope. My question for you, like I said, I'm gonna answer it first. Have you ever dealt with any thoughts of suicide, the suicide ideation? So all my viewers that listeners know that I suffer with suicide. Like I think like a couple of days ago or just today, I was suicidal. So I was molested as a child when I was young, 33. I was a child, molested by two of my male cousins. Didn't start dealing with it till I got older, with 26, and that's when like I didn't realize I had issues with trusting men or just being around men. It don't matter straight men, gay men, it don't matter, you're a man. I just felt comfortable hanging out with girls more. I feel like they got me. And like that haunted me, that trauma, that's PTSD from that PTSD, borderline personality disorder, like that messed me up. A lot of men that were sexually abused, they suffer with PTSD and borderline personality disorder. And in 2019 I lost my mom to liver cancer, then 9 months later I lost my sister. So all this stuff, sometimes this trauma and this grief, it all hits me at once sometimes. So sometimes I do get suicidal, ladies and gentlemen that's listening. Even I do this podcast and I talk about mental health. Like right now I'm smiling and cheesy. I love talking about mental health because it's conversations that need to be had so we can raise awareness, but I still struggle, yeah, that's my story.
Yes. Yeah, we all struggle. To be honest with you, though, I've never had suicidal thoughts. That's one thing that I can really say. I've never had suicidal thoughts. I've with my mental health, I think it was more of my anxiety slash anger,
Yeah.
like slash. I was very explosive. Like I said, I grew up to where I had to always defend myself. I always be on defense mode for
Yeah.
many reasons. So that was my biggest thing. But it would, of course, cause some depression here and there, 'cause I felt lonely half the times. You know, I resorted to alcohol since I was young. I mean, I've been drinking since I was like 13. And That's one thing that I'm gonna say. I have not stopped drinking, but I manage my drinking better.
Yes.
I saw, and with me being on the show, I saw how I was acting and things that I was doing that I didn't like. So that helped me to grow from that part. And now I limit my drinking to 3 times a month, you know? And I drink like a lot less. And again, it's a lot less days. I used to drink every weekend, like to a point where I would black out every weekend. And like again, after the show, which was filmed in February, I've only been drinking maybe twice or 3 times a month.
Yes. Thank you for your
That
time.
helped me.
If anybody out there is struggling, please, please, please dial 9-8. Their number is there, it's free. Make sure you guys call that number 9-8 if you are struggling with thoughts of suicide ideation. If it's you or somebody, a friend or family, please make sure you give them that number to call. My next question for you, since you talked about the show, right? Like, how was your mental health filming the show? And then, like, how was it after just watching it back?
So before the show, my mental health, I thought I was okay. I'm not gonna say I was good or nothing because I knew I was struggling with certain things. That's how come I wanted to do the show. And I needed to see myself doing certain things to realize how I was acting. So during the show, walking into the show, weeks before the show, I was already stressing out because I needed to get certain things. I needed to have some, my bills paid. I was just already stressing out because I own a house, correct? I own a house. And I own my vehicles, I have my job, I have everything. So I had to kind of put everything to a side to go do the show. And I was already stressing before the show. Now, walking into the show, I already had all that in my mind. I was stressing. It was just all over the place. I walked in the show doing it. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be good. I'm gonna just go do me. And yes, I was myself, of course, but I was also struggling with a lot of anxiety during the show. A lot of anxiety because I didn't know any of these guys at all. And then it brought back memories from like the army where I had to share things with other guys. And I didn't grow up like this. Like I mentioned before, I didn't have my parents around much. I didn't have my sisters around much. So I was usually always alone. I was independent. So doing these things with other people that I don't even know was really uncomfortable. I mean, I had to share a room with people, bathrooms. I had to be careful what I said. It was just, it was too much while filming. That's why. And production even said, like, even off camera, I was still always angry. I was still always going through these anxiety attacks. I was always in a bad mood. I really, really was. Even off camera, I wasn't just doing it for when camera started filming. That was me all the time in there. I was kind of miserable sometimes because I went in there trying to have fun, but it wasn't just about that. It was about growth and stuff. And these guys didn't, some of them didn't even want to have fun with me. They were just constantly like judging me. So I felt under a lot of pressure, you know what I mean?
I get that. And I like, like reality stars, I just always love to ask that question because, especially shows like that where you got to watch stuff back, watch yourself on camera. And some people feel like, it wasn't good for them, right? I talked to people from Big Brother, The Challenge, Love Island, and they, all said the same, Survivor, they all said the same thing. Like, it was a lot. Some people like had to go, get counseling after that. So thank you for opening up about your experience, man. That is so dope and brave of you to do too.
Yeah, and then remember that right before that, I had just gone out of the army some months prior. So there's also no privacy in the army. They have to know everything about your life. So, it was just from then on, it was just like I didn't have a mind of my own. I was like, oh. And then right after the army, literally a couple of months after, that's when I went on to the show. So I was already suffering from PTSD. I didn't even get to recover or go through counseling or any type of therapy right after the army, because right after the army, I did the show. So that's when it was just all tied into one thing that was causing kind of anxiety and PTSD at the time. So it was the more towards the military background that I kind of had more of that anxiety and PTSD.
Yeah. My next question. Well, not a question. Can you like explain the whole, army PTSD to people? Because like a lot of people, listen, we talk mental health, right, Diego? Everybody talks mental health, but I feel like they forget about, army vet people or Navy. They forget about their mental health. I feel like their stories are not told. Can you like elaborate more on that?
Yeah, I believe a lot of people don't mention their mental health when they're like in the service because, again, we're viewed and seen as tough people. You know what I mean? People think that we're like these very strong people. We're still humans. We still suffer through all these things, and that's why it's not covered a lot, because a lot of people hide it, and that's why the military has such a high suicide rate, because some people keep their mouth shut and don't get help because they're, again, they're scared to be seen as weak. You know, that's what it is. For me, it was tough, because again, I was independent. I already had my house before the army. I already had everything, so I was always minding my business. I was always doing me, and no one gave me a schedule. I was doing my life. Getting in the army, you're in a time schedule 24/7, especially going through basic. And I didn't just go through basic training. I did OSAT because I did a combat job. So I had to do 6 months basically of like basic training. So it's 6 months of constant yelling, 6 months of getting up at 4 a.m. to work out, 6 months of them telling you when to go to the bathroom, when to shower, when to eat, how long to eat, all that stuff. So you were under structured. So people don't even understand, even if you don't get employed, even if you don't go into a war or battle, just joining us something that's completely new to you does cause mental health. It does. And it's not covered a lot because people are like, oh, well, you didn't go to this war. You weren't in Vietnam War. You were in this war. You were in this war. So you should be okay. But no, they don't understand that you're still going through stuff in your personal life. They don't know where you came from. They don't know how you grew up. And all of a sudden, you're just being thrown and doing something completely different. And again, before, you don't know what it's like until you join. Yeah, you can see videos on YouTube. You can see stories. People could tell you, but it's every person's story of how their basic training, their army experience, or this, it's different because we all have a different lifestyle before and after. So it was, for me, it was more than mental. I was very athletic before, so all the workouts and all that was okay, but it was more of the mental, because no one ever told me when to eat. No one ever told me when I could use the bathroom. No one told me when to wake up. And let me tell you, it wasn't just waking up like, oh, okay, woof, good morning. No, they would get in there, won't go in there screaming at you, telling you to get the F up and throw stuff at you. It was much. It was a lot. It really was.
Yes, thank you. And something that you touched on that said just like got me thinking, like you said, the suicide rate for people in the military is high, and that's crazy. Nobody talks about that. And I'm like, you
Nope.
explain why, but I did not know that, you know. Oh, that's so like heartbreaking that it's not talked about. But I like you explain why, you know, y'all supposed to be tough. People look at y'all as tough, but you know, y'all are people too that have emotions and feelings that go through stuff, you know. Like, thank you
Yeah.
for like spreading awareness and talking about that. It's so, you know, it's sad that, you know, and it's like you never really hear about it. Like you just said it. It's like you never really hear about that. And I'm just makes me wonder, like, wow, how many people are suffering in silence that need someone to talk to? Wow.
Yeah, and then you'll be surprised because you don't even know. Some of these people are very, very happy. I just lost a friend in December who was constantly out and about, who she was happy all the time. She was always excited doing this, and she took her own life away all of a sudden. We were all shocked when we found out about that. We're like, and she was in the service with me. We were stationed here in Fort Hood together, and she lost her life to depression when no one knew about it. You know, nobody had a clue. None of us close friends, nobody, none of her supervisors, no one knew. So people need to know that it's okay to be depressed. People need to know that it's okay to have PTSD and like they could talk to somebody. And that's because you mentioned about the hotline, because some people are more comfortable sharing it with people they don't know or that they're never gonna see, other than their own personal friends. Because again, judgment, because they're gonna take advantage, just many reasons, you know.
Yeah, that's so true. One of my friend Dante Austin, he's like, I'm from Philly. He was in the military and then, you know, became a cop in Philadelphia, like was like really helping the LGBT community. You know, he proposed to his fiance like on in Penn's Landing on State at Gay Pride in front of all these people. Like when I say it was like a lot of people out there, it was a lot of people out there. And you know, he like I remember I helped donate to this foundation he was working with. That help homeless, you know, LGBT youth that got kicked out their house and stuff like that. And it was so sad. Like he's one of the, like once I remember one time I was so suicidal, he talked me out of it. And I was like, yo, bro, thank you. He said, you know, we all go through stuff. And he died by suicide like shot himself at his desk. And that's the first friend. Well, that's not the first friend, but that's my first friend that I cried about. Like, I was so sad. I was like, he just was like during Gay Pride, saying he loved his community, doing all this stuff. And like, I had just saw him like a month ago in Buffalo Wild Wings and everything. And it was just like, I cried, like, why? Like, why? You know? And you just never know what somebody's going through. They could be smiling, the most happiest person, the most joyous person, the most quiet person. You just never know.
Exactly, and that's how come I am grateful I did the show. I'm grateful with the production for giving me a chance and doing this, because even though, like, yeah, I was a little wild and a little crazy in the show, I did what I had to do, whatever. I realized things that, like I told everybody else, like, it was off camera, but I said, just because you apologize or because you're going through stuff doesn't make you a bitch or doesn't make you weak or doesn't make you less than anybody else.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to be open and see it for yourself in order to admit things. Like, I didn't know I was doing half those things, you know, until I saw it back and I was doing my confessions, like, hey, you did this. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't remember acting like this. I was beyond wasted where I don't even remember doing this. So that thanks to the show, you know, I got to get my thoughts together and my head together, and I'm trying to live it day by day, you know, not stressing too much about the future and about the past, just kind of focusing on today and what I have to do today. And that's what's kind of helping me, because I would stress a lot about, oh my God, I have this bill next month. I have to do this next week. I have this, because I'm a busy dude. I'm always busy. I'm always doing something, you know. And that's what people, a lot of people liked me on the show. A lot of people related to me because I was very transparent. I was very open. I was very real.
You were, yes. You were. Last question for you, right? What are some good coping skills you could recommend to someone that's struggling with their mental health? And before Diego's answers, right, there are his coping skills and my coping skills may not work for everybody, but there are some coping skills that may work for someone.
Yes, definitely. So home remedies, like I say, for me, home remedies are things that I could do on my own besides getting professional therapy and all the other stuff, right? What I've done that helps me, honestly, has been the gym. Like, working out really, really de-stresses the hell out of me. I put my headphones on, go to the gym. I don't think about nothing. I focus on what I have to do. That's one. Going on nature walks. Honestly, same thing, nature walks. I go on to trails and go to the mountains, the hills, whatever, and that also gets my mind off of everything. And I just focus on my breathing, on my walk. I also have a pool in my backyard. Whenever I feel anxious or I feel like I'm about to have a panic attack, whatever, I jump in the pool, I start swimming. My pets. Pets help. Once you're feeling like, they really do help. People would be surprised. They're like, oh no, what's the dog gonna do to calm me? They do. One of my dogs, whenever he starts seeing me start getting anxious or raising my voice at someone, he literally runs up to me and starts tapping me. He's like, hey, like, chill. And he's not even a service animal, so they know. All those little things help, you know. Having pets help me. Working out and, you know, meditating.
And listen, pets are a great support animal, emotional support animal. They are great.
They really are. And you know what? I was very close-minded before this, before all my, like, all this. Before, I was like, oh no, like, people just want to take their dogs to the store. So that's where they want to register them as support animals, whatever. Not until I actually seen it for myself that they actually are very good support, you know?
Yeah, they are amazing. My next and last question for you, right? I want to ask you, someone that's listening to this podcast and they are struggling with their mental health, right? Can you tell them why it's important that they put their mental health first? Because, you know, a lot of us that struggle with mental health issues, we don't put ourselves first. So can you tell someone why is the most important thing in the world that we put ourselves first, our mental health first?
I think it's very important to put your mental health first, because if you don't do it for yourself, you know, no one else is going to actually take the first step for you. You have to put yourself first. And it's important because you also, there is bad people in the world. People around you are bad. Yes, some, but you also have those people who care about you and those people who you, if you hurt yourself, you don't know who else you could be damaging. So with that being said, you have to put yourself first, not just be selfish, just think about yourself. And if you hurt yourself, oh, whatever is going to end my life. But what about the people around you that actually care for you? What about your people who look forward to seeing you, people who you could be inspiring, people who you who look up to you? You know, it could be anybody. It could be your neighbor. It could be someone you see at the gym. It could be anybody. You have to think about other people as well. That's very important. You know, that's what I always tell everybody. Don't just think about yourself. Think about the people who you will be hurting if you hurt yourself.
That's so true. And I want to add, like I always add, no one's going to put your mental health like you're going to put your mental health first. Nobody's going to do that for you. You have to put yourself first. Are you somebody that like to be there for others and be there and be that voice of reason for others? You have to make sure your cup is filled first, because if you're filling other cups and you get into E, who's filling yourself up? Nobody's going to do that for you. You have to fill your own cup before you can fill others. Make sure don't experience burnout, because we've been there for a lot of people not take care of ourselves. We can experience burnouts. So make sure you put yourself first, self-care, journaling, whatever that is, make sure you put yourself first, especially before you could be there for others.
Yes, it's very important. Like I said, no one's gonna put you there first until you do it. No one's gonna make that first move until you say, "You know what? I'm suffering with this. I need to look out for myself as well."
Yes, I love that. I love that. And I just want to say thank you, Diego, for coming on and talking about mental health, right? You know, you being a vet and everything, like talking about it, I see it from a different side. Like I had somebody on my podcast that works in, paramedic industry, and when they explained some stuff, I was like, wow, I didn't never thought of
Yeah.
that. You explained the whole.
I'm also EMT certified, so I also did EMT for like a month.
Okay.
But yeah, that's an electric job.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until I had some guy from this Netflix show, reality show called The Mole. And he's a, he works in a firefighter or EMT both together. When he explained like seeing, certain stuff, I was like, wow, I never thought of that. And you talking about, when you said like it really sticked out to me, like when you said that it's people in the military that just die by suicide, but the world doesn't know that. Wow. But
Yeah.
thank you, my brother. Thank you for being open and honest. This was a good podcast episode, man. Thank you for sharing all that you could share. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all you have done. Congrats on everything, the show and everything. Thank you so much, man.
Yes, definitely. Thank you for having me, and hopefully you'll maybe see me in some future projects now that I'm doing better, now that I'm getting my life together. Maybe you'll see me in future projects. No spoilers yet, but maybe you'll see me later on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.